Yeah, so out of the blue, the guy says, boy, you're a tall drink of water. I'm not really sure. What did that mean?
I think it means that, like, you look like a guy that is dehydrated and you need to drink more water, I think. I'm not sure.
You know, now that you mentioned, I was kind of getting a headache.
Yeah, I've heard the expression, but
not clear.
No. Hmm. Hey, what's your sign anyway? Are you an Aquarius?
Cancer.
Maybe that's why. Okay, so it's not your... Oh, wait a minute. Hey, hold on a second. We're rolling.
All right, let's roll. Well, he's Mark.
And he's Rich.
And we are two guys
on Block Island. All right, listeners, welcome to another episode of Two Guys on Block Island.
I love another episode.
I know. It's always, isn't it nice that all you have to do is wait 2 weeks and then there's another episode, another fascinating episode with scintillating conversation. Speaking of scintillating conversation, today we have a friend of mine who is kind of an important figure in the town. If you value your life. And
whoa.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, everyone needs to drink water, right?
This is true.
We all need water. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy who makes the water happen. I know him as Slewy. I call him Slewy still, but we all know him as John Brunig. John, how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. How about you?
I'm great. Yes. Great. You have to earn the SLU now. There's very few people.
I'm grandfathered in.
You're grandfathered in, yeah.
Thank you.
New people call me Slewy. I look out of my cut.
Usually we ask our first question, which we'll get to, is, you know, what's your Block Island story? How'd you get here? But first of all, I don't even know how you got the nickname Slewy. Can you tell me
that? Is it something we can talk about?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
It comes from high school, Philadelphia, West Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Right on. Go Eagles.
Just kind of one of those, kind of like gravy.
Right.
Probably.
But
just kind
I know
of
the reason. You know the reason for Gravy's nickname, right?
Because there was a lot of Daves in the
right.
neighborhood.
There were three Daves. Yeah. One was Gravy, one was Wavy, one was the other one. So there's a reason. Is there a reason behind
it? It was English class, sophomore year, flipping first letter of your, you know, so I was Bon Brunig. My name is John Brunig.
I gotcha.
And then it just oddly evolved to Slunig, Slewy, I don't know.
Gotcha.
One of those, you know, and then it stuck.
Okay.
And then it came here because someone knew me from high school here.
Yeah.
And or from college, and then it came to Block Island, but it's being weeded out slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knew you from college here?
I got brought out to the island by Cameron Greenlee.
All right, well then let's go there.
We just smoothly segued
into your Block Island story.
So Cam Greenlee.
You're welcome.
Nice work. You're slow. You're good at this.
This guy's sharp. He's making me nervous.
I know, I'm getting nervous too. All right. So Cam brought you out. And how did you meet Cam? Let me guess, at a reggae show.
No. It's a long, I don't know how deep I want to go into the story because it might bore your listeners a little bit.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
You know,
they're just driving in their car. They don't care.
I went to the University of New Hampshire, and Cameron was a transfer his sophomore year. I was living off campus. It was in the days of Instant Messenger. Do you remember? I was in college when Instant Messenger was a thing. So you just sit at your laptops and you'd type instant messages. And it was the day before kind of everyone had cell phones. And that's how we communicated a lot with other people. So a high school friend who actually has another connection to Block Island and actually is my... it's so confusing.
Yeah,
it's,
that's all right. Skip that part. So college.
It turns out his girlfriend, who has a connection to Block Island, summered here, still comes to the island. Her boyfriend was Cameron.
Okay.
And she was across the street. So we're, you know, hey, call the landline when you get into town. Trying to figure out where she is. She didn't know where she was. I finally figured it out. I said, oh, look out your front window. I'm across the street from you. So that's how it happened. That's why my Cam, he was a transfer.
Yeah.
So, you know, transfers are looking for friends and we lived across the street. So we
started hanging out.
Started hanging out all the time and eventually we roomed together. But one time he said, come up to this island, told me nothing about it. I had no clue. And something I thought was funny, I was late to the boat, missed the last boat on the mainland, trying to get a hotel room. Everyone's like, well, Bob Dylan's at the Folk Fest. There's no hotel rooms around. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
I'm like, like, what? Yeah. I'm like, what? Huh? So couldn't find a hotel room. Eventually got here on, you know, in the morning.
What year was this, by the way?
2002 or 2003.
Okay. Yeah. Did you just nap in the car?
No. Oh. I've had friends do it. We found a room.
Okay.
You know, and I came over in the morning.
Yeah.
You know. And
first time to Block Island.
First time, knew nothing about what I was doing. I smelled the fish on the other side going, what is going on?
What is that?
The bait on the other side.
Chum buckets.
What is going on?
And so this is, I'm sorry, was this the plan? You were just coming to visit Cam?
To visit Cam for a weekend. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
down at the family compound?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm driving in Cameron's Land Cruiser listening to reggae.
Yeah.
Driving
yeah.
down going, where am I going? And arrive at that beautiful property. And obviously it's an easy place to fall in love.
I was just going to say, how can you not? Right. So, so we're talking about, sometimes we have to fill in our listeners a little bit. And what was Cam's grandmother's name? I can't,
Granny. Dorothy.
Yeah. So Cam, and Cam was a guest on the,
yeah, we had Cam
on our show. Oh, you have. Yeah, I was wondering that. Yeah.
But yeah, that spot down there, Corman Cove, is just
magic,
top notch, spectacular
magic. And it was the old bow house and, you know, sailboats, all the watercraft dock, you know, just rustic. It was just, you know, by the end of the weekend, I was telling my, my boss of my college job at home, I said, well, the ferries aren't running. It's too foggy. I'm going to be another day, you know, which is total bogus excuse, right. But they didn't know.
Yeah. So. And so then did you visit for just that weekend and then go back to your job and then?
Yeah, I just came out for the weekend.
Okay.
And then, you know, was visit, you know, we're only a couple hours from University of New Hampshire to make it down. So we come out sometimes for some weekends. And I just happened to be driving down here. I was graduating. We were coming down in May.
Yeah.
And I had a job lined up that I had the previous summer with the Forest Service. Another story for another day. They said, hey, we only can use you for the field work, which was only 4 weeks during the summer. And I said, listen, I need, you know, I'm graduating college. I need something.
Yeah.
And I just literally called me on the way down here as we were driving. So it just...
So you had a gig lined up and then you're now I don't.
Now I don't. I'm on Block Island in May. When everyone's kind of lining up jobs for the summer, it was just kind of
serendipitous.
It was. Yeah. It was kind of meant to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what did you, so then you just got on the boat or did you make some phone calls first and line something up?
No,
you're coming to visit Cam and hang out.
Just hang out. And, oddly enough, my future brother-in-law, Scotty Michelle, took me around to the Ore and, you know, he drove me around looking for jobs, you know, while we were visiting and ended up, working for the drapers, washing dishes, doing some, garden work for them preseason.
Yeah.
Ended up as the shellfish warden by the end of the season.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That was my first town job was shellfish warden, best job I've ever had.
Right.
It was just driving around
the Great Salt licenses. Pond,
talking with people. You know, I mean, what gets better than that? I mean, it really is.
Did you know that? Did you imagine? Could you even imagine that first visit to Corman Cove that you'd be there later arresting people? Oh, wait. You don't. Wait, I don't. You don't get to harass people, do you?
I harassed some people, but nice. I never gave a citation. It was more about education.
Yeah. I think that's education. Three courts, not two.
Yeah.
I made him pour out some small clams. That's about as bad as it got. But that was a great job. I had use of the boathouse there, so I used to dock there and hang out with those giant doors and wait for the next. Clamors to arrive and go around, do another round and best job I ever had.
That's amazing.
It doesn't get better than that.
Now, did you live at Cam's place for the summer?
No.
Did they put you up or you get housing?
That first summer was funny.
They always are.
Yeah. God. Once I lived at the Eureka, once I left the Eureka, and got the shellfish warden job, I, there was a few weeks I carved out a little spot there by the boathouse, pitched a tent.
Yeah.
Dorothy did not know about it. Glenn Pence had gone off island, and I'm sure you guys know Glenn.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he gave me a camo tarp that he had gotten when he was off island. Put the camo tarp over there, and then I bounced around. I picked up the tent a few times, bounced around with some friends, you know, and eventually I ended up at the Coast Guard station.
Okay.
And
through
then
the, through because the town?
Of
the,
through the town, yeah. Right. When some of the summer people left for college, yeah. I got a spot there. So
Do they still house the shellfish warden?
That wouldn't be a question for me.
Right, I think okay. It varies, but yeah, they still do housing down
do
there.
Do they?
Yeah, I think state police.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're in one building. I think the state police are in the building on the left where you pull in the old parking
lot. The motor pool. Yeah,
yeah, the motor pool. And then, yeah, townhouses, people up in there.
Lifeguards. I think recreation and harbors.
A lot of harbors.
Split it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great spot to live for cool. summer. For
cool building.
Oh, man. It was that cupola is just beautiful, you know. But
the only thing I, spot. You know, and people, there's always difference of opinion. I don't give a shit. I wish the town would do something a little more with it for the town. Like it's kind of like it's all gated off and no one's allowed on there. I mean, you don't want it to be overrun, but it would be kind of nice. It was a beautiful park with some picnic areas and
I
stuff
think
like
that's,
that.
Didn't they close? Didn't they restrict the parking?
Yeah,
few
that's
years
what
back
I mean.
Because
you
it
can't,
was getting, you, there's nowhere to park.
No, that was private people who reclaimed. People were actually, you know, they owned to this point. And
oh really?
Yeah, it was not the town that did that. People were parking on private.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, right of ways and
liabilities.
Stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, sure, so. Got it.
But no, there was some you know requests for proposals to do something with that. I don't know what ended up. It was years ago, but nothing really came.
I mean, I just feel that there could be a privacy for the people residing there, even if they're you know summer help. And still have maybe an area with a little parking and an area of recreation where you could, you know, sit on the grass there with your kids. Cause I mean, now you get out of the car and the only thing you can do is hike down that trail to the, you know, to the beach, which if that's what you want to do, great. But I just think there could be more of a, not a beach guy. Like if Mark and I went together, he'd go right down the path and I would go up onto the grass and sit in a chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know? the police that they put the police up, maybe they should put a shooting range in there.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Open air. Al fresco shooting range?
I think that's a great idea.
Why not?
I'll pitch it.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Can it just be archery?
Sure.
Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. So you got a job. You're on Block Island now. You're the shellfish warden. How long did that last? Take us through your evolution.
Just that summer, you know, July and August, I did that. Left for a year, went and skied in Alta, Utah, which was just fantastic. Yeah. And then returned to Block Island as the assistant dock master at Old Harbor. I worked under John Calhoun.
Okay.
Oh, really? He was my neighbor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we lived above Strings and Things when I worked for the Howarths at Finn's. So you get to the top of the stairs and he was on the left and we were on the right, me and Patty.
He was a hoot, yeah. So
the little, what was it, the little Moore cigarette? Is that what he, do you remember him? Do you know him, Mark?
If I saw him, yeah, I'm sure I do.
I mean, he always had a young girlfriend.
Or wife, yeah.
Or wife, yeah. Or both. Mm-hmm. And he was the image of the New England sea captain.
Wait, salty. What was his name?
The salty. John Calhoun. What was he back then? He's probably 70, 60.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. All of that, right?
So, yeah.
What do you look like?
Old salty old New England sea captain,
white beard.
Was he the guy with the pipe? Did he have the pipe?
Think it was. He smoked those
little brown ones.
Yeah, the long brown cigarettes. Yeah.
I know exactly.
Yeah.
Who you're talking
he was
about.
Down there for 30 years. Yeah,
I totally know. Yeah. Of course. Okay.
He reminded me of the guy in Jaws that comes out when all hell's breaking loose, and he just turns around and goes back into the. He's like, and turns. You know.
So you were assistant harbor master.
No, assistant dock master. Come on, don't.
I'm sorry, dock master.
Dock master.
Now, were you experienced with boats before this?
Sure. Yeah.
A little bit. You did
a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. You weren't like in the sailing the America's Cup or anything.
No.
You knew you could. You weren't. I'm a complete idiot around boats.
I saw some pictures in a book.
Yeah, so,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I learned a lot on the job as well. Gotcha. So, but not more freshwater stuff, not ocean going boats. So, but I learned a lot on the job. Another great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how stressful was that job down there?
Oh, it was a lot more stressful than shellfish warden. I mean, you have sometimes, I don't know what the rules are now, but you would raft, you know, 8 boats off in those days. I think there's rules limiting that now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, one time, the difficult part about that job is when you're rafting 7 boats and the inside guy wants to leave.
Ugh.
And, they're supposed to tell you and you're supposed to, that was your job is to help it get out. You know, people rally and you need a bunch of people, the boaters help out. I remember one time we just look up and millions of dollars worth of boats are just floating away. The inside guy just said,
untied. What? Let the whole raft.
Oh my God. Go. Yeah. There was some stress. It's.
What did you do? How'd you get him?
Some guy jumped in the water. I ran out and he got the line to me and I had one, I was hanging on to 4 or 5, boat's expensive.
Yeah.
And it was going over into the commercial area and he just like grabbed it and had one line holding these boats and, great community. The boaters are great down there, but
yeah,
man,
except for the guy who cut him loose.
I was dropping, I was throwing my cell phone or, I was ready to jump. Go. Oh my God. Yeah. 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 But no, it was fun, yeah. But it's just a busy place,
Yeah.
You got all the Ballards people walking by.
I was gonna say behavior can be an issue.
You must have seen some shit down there.
Huh? Oh yeah, sure.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you name it.
Yeah. They want you to hang out with you down there, but I clocked out,
Yeah.
They want you to eat dinner with them and everything. I said they didn't think I was very much fun, I don't think. I said
it's probably better that way.
Yeah. My block island is
It's on the other side.
It's on the other side. Yeah.
You're like, let's keep this professional.
There's times I'm thankful when people don't enjoy my company.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, good.
I'm the same way. Oh. And then after the Dockmaster, you did that for what, a couple seasons?
No, I did that for one season and, yep. Met my wife earlier, but we started dating that summer.
How did you guys meet? First time you met.
At the boathouse.
And your wife's name is?
Is Laura Michelle.
Laura Michelle. Her parents are Doug and Barbie. Yep. Okay.
And
it's a pretty good set of in-laws together.
Oh my God. Oh, you're right though.
Yeah.
I mean,
you nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Some
of the two best
and
people.
Yeah, your wife's not
fantastic.
Bad either.
Not
yeah.
Well.
Yeah,
she's
yeah,
not bad.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, she's okay.
But great set in-laws. So we had known each other from the boathouse because she was about,
she was in that crew.
We had a crew who hung out down there.
And your crew, is it you hung out with the Lewis dude, the boys, and
Justin, and Dan. Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, you remember we used to have an end.
Actually, no, nobody saw Gravy back in those days.
No, I knew Gravy a little bit,
right.
But that's how where Cameron Greenlee injects into my life is we went up to the Spring House to go watch Cameron play some cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Gravy was there. It was the end of the season and I'd seen him in town hall and I said, "Hey Gravy," I didn't know him all that much.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, what are you doing in town hall today?" "Oh, we're looking for, I was meeting with Nancy Dodge to see what we could get for a new employee," and the light bulb went off, and then I applied for the water company job, and really didn't know much about water. I had a good degree, my degree is in environmental policy.
Yeah.
Gravy really taught me everything I know, about water or anything, because I didn't really know all that much about what I was doing at first.
Let's hold on the Gravy first, though. Let's go back to how you met Laura.
Can I do one quick thing?
Yeah.
I think we've brought his name up so many times.
Oh, right? My God.
We have to translate who Gravy really
okay,
is.
Okay, sorry. Yeah,
Gravy is,
of course, I've mentioned
Dave Simmons.
David Simmons.
Because I only knew him as Gravy.
AKA
too.
Gravy.
Yes. Okay.
We've mentioned him before on the cast, but for the purposes of this episode, Gravy and I grew up together in Agawam in Western Mass.
Yeah.
And it was Gravy's older brother, Steve, who brought me out here in 96. I've told this story before.
Yep.
But then Gravy ends up going on, we all worked at the moped corner, and then Gravy ends up going on to run the water company out here. And really modernized the infrastructure and upgraded. Mm. He's responsible for so much of the drinking of how of the he's responsible for the quality of
the water, turnaround. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
But before we get to your water life,
I just want to let our listeners know that this man's name is not actually
It's not
Gravy.
It's not actually Gravy.
He was just one of too many days.
And we are trying to line Gravy up to get on the cast. He said he'd be on it. He's just so busy right now. He's got two kids, and you know. But eventually, we'll get Gravy on.
He'd be a great. Be a great cast.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
See, and he's here. I don't want excuses.
Yeah, but he's here on the island.
I know. Yeah, all right, that's fine.
How'd you meet your wife?
Like I said, at the boathouse, that group of friends, and for summer, I did have a girlfriend. She kind of followed me out here.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And I didn't really mention it to any of the women out here yet. But then the following summer, I did not have a girlfriend, and we just hanging out at the boathouse,
How'd you seal the deal? What'd you say to her? What were you like, hey, what was your line? What was Slewie's line?
And was there booze involved?
Yes.
I don't think too much, but
okay.
She was about to give up on me. You know, we had known each other the previous summer and she was about to give up on me. And I knew that this wasn't a type of girl you just, kissed or something and said see you later.
Right.
Like, I knew it was if I went down this road.
This is it.
This
is a highway with no exits.
Maybe, but I didn't, I was friends with her. I didn't want to give bad expectations. So she was about to give up on me. And we're down at the boathouse, we're both leaving, and she was like, she's told me that was it. That, if you didn't kiss me that night, that I was going, forget about this guy. And, we had our first kiss outside the boathouse
Man.
I guess the rest is history.
That's amazing.
So, and anything with me, you can't mention Cameron and Gravy a lot in this podcast because they obviously are a big part of my life.
Of course.
So, their names will probably come up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, was there stuff between the doc master, the assistant doc master and the water company? But
no,
so you went from that
transitioned right from the assistant doc master and got hired in October of 2005.
Okay.
At the water company.
And was that the first, and you just mentioned how you got the job. You bumped in, again, randomly, kind of serendipitously ran into Gravy in town hall while he was going to talk to the town manager about the position.
Yeah, it was like getting toilet paper or something.
Right, and bam, there it was.
Yeah.
Was that your first, did that begin your year-round tenure on Block Island?
That began my year-round tenure on Block Island.
Okay.
Yeah. Ski bum,
Yep.
Ski bum, went back and... Yep. And had the full-time gig there. So started fresh, really didn't know much. And, like I said, Gravy taught me everything. Big part of my life in general.
And
every job goes hand in hand with housing out here. I know we've talked about it a few times. So then were they still willing to give you some kind of housing because it was a town job?
No, I lived on the west side off of Old Mill Road. Laura and I moved in there really for the winter. No kitchen, kind of an accessory building.
Yeah.
Wash dishes in a bathroom sink.
Do what you gotta do.
Where'd you live on Old Mill?
At the Livesey's house.
Oh, yeah.
John Whitaker used to live there.
Oh, in the little tiny one.
Yeah. Hot plates.
That's a cool spot, though.
It is a great spot, yeah.
Yeah.
We often ask, and, I think of it myself, but sometimes don't you wish you could just flash back into that briefly to experience that simple life again,
You
can't see his face, but he's
kids now,
salivating.
He's like,
I'd give a right arm for a week back.
Calgon, take me away.
Washing the dishes in a bathroom sink is like, that sounds great.
Yeah. All right. So how was your first winter out here?
I love the winters out here. I enjoy it. Yeah. And it takes people ask, well, what do you, how do you like living there? And I say, it takes a special person. We all know that.
Yeah.
But, you have to enjoy the winters and embrace them. And, I always say Block Island is a great place. I enjoy seasons in general.
Yeah.
And they're so extreme here. But I always say once you get tired of the tourists, they go away and you get your time. Once you get tired of cooking dinner all winter and everything else, as the people start coming back and the the flowers bloom again
and you get off island every now and then, take a little vacation, do a weekend, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm over March. That's the one that I don't love March.
March is brutal. Yeah.
Right about then you get to itching and then we're on, Block Island's on the opposite end of the reward we reap in the fall of this gorgeous weather, mm-hmm. but spring just takes forever, if at all.
And also, I think psychologically, you're thinking it's not December, January, or February. It's March. It feels like it should be spring.
I know,
but it's not.
I call it Marchuary.
Marchuary. Yeah, that makes sense.
It just continues. It's January, February,
it's
Marchuary.
February.
Yeah, it shouldn't change. It should just be like those.
Yep.
See, I grew up in Philadelphia. Things are blooming then,
Right.
That's what I mean.
I'm still in that,
Christ,
that
if you
mentality.
Go to Providence, the grass is turning green and the flowers are starting to come up and it's still like brown and freezing here. You know?
Well, you got the battery of the ocean, which takes a while to charge, doesn't it?
Right.
But we get to pull off that battery of warmth mm-hmm. all fall. To get into December and still have 50s and 60s,
really nice. It's all right. Yeah. We are going to take a really quick break. We're going to check in with our sponsors. And then we're going to come back and let's get into the whole water thing.
Oh, good. I'm thirsty.
Sound good?
Yeah. It's going to be great. All right. I'll be back with John soon.
Rich, what are you doing? Are you okay? Do you have a spasm in your leg or something?
Oh, no, man. I'm practicing my dance moves. I mean, I think this one's called a running man.
I'm not sure what I'd call that. What's with the sudden urge to shake your booty?
Well, I'm going to Captain Nick's tonight, and I want to be ready for the dance floor.
Ah, I love Captain Nick's. It's been Block Island's premier live music venue since it opened in 1976.
Well, my favorite is disco night every Monday night.
Me too. The best part is that everyone gets dressed up in their best 70s attire.
Oh, it is definitely dressed to impress.
And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Captain Nick's features some of the best live entertainment you'll find on Block Island.
And Friday and Saturday night, they feature some of the favorite returning acts like Derek and the Funbags, West End Blend, The Blushing Brides. Love The Blushing Brides. Fever, Neil and the Vipers.
Yeah, and Friday and Saturday afternoons, if you want to get there a little early, Captain Nick's has acoustic entertainment on the deck.
And don't forget Sunday Funday with Young Guns, followed by more great live music inside.
Captain Nick's also has fantastic fun food options going all the way until 1 a.m. You know what that means? Late night food.
Yeah. And hey, if you're planning a special event, keep the party going at Nick's by renting out the second floor. It's perfect for wedding after parties, birthday gatherings, but just give them a call and you can reserve that for you and your friends.
Yeah, Captain Nick's also has a great selection of merchandise. You can pick up a cool hat, hoodie, or t-shirt.
Well, I hope to see you and all of our listeners down at Captain Nick's located on Ocean Avenue across from the grocery store.
For a complete entertainment schedule, please visit CaptainNicksBI.com. You know, I'm really looking forward to going fishing, Rich, but I don't know if we're both going to fit in this rowboat.
Wait, are you saying we're going to need a bigger boat?
Yeah, we're definitely going to need a bigger boat.
Hey, well, no problem. Why don't we just call Block Island Fishworks?
Yeah, you know, some of the best fishing in New England is in the waters around Block Island.
Hey, Fishworks is Block Island's number one fishing charter service.
And they have two boats in operation to accommodate your party.
Yeah, they do 3, 4, 6, and 8 hour trips on the Harley for up to 6 people with Captain Hank.
And they do 4 and 6 hour trips on the Jessica Kate with Captain Chris. Now that's for light tackle and fly fishing.
And they target all kinds of species. Bass, bluefish, black sea bass, scup, fluke, bonita, false albacore.
Yeah, and if you need tackle, bait, or some cool Fishworks merchandise, you can stop by the tackle shop located on Ocean Ave just past the bridge on the way to New Harbor.
Yeah, get ready to fish with BI Fishworks, but reservations are required for the charters.
But if you just want to fish from the shore, you can head into BI Fishworks and get some information about some of the best fishing spots all around Block Island.
Yeah, so check them out in person, online at bifishworks.com, or give them a call at 401-466-5392.
Let's go catch some fish.
Tons.
So I was just on the beach and saw Rich hanging 10 on a super cool surfboard rental from Diamond Blue Surf Shop. It's definitely the place to go for all your surfboard, paddleboard, and beach rental needs. But don't forget, Diamond Blue used to rent their stuff down on the beach, but this year you can go right to the shop for your rentals, where you'll also find the sweetest selection of swimsuits, hats, t-shirts, sandals, and other fun beach accessories. Be sure to check out their new line of Knockaround sunglasses. Knockaround is a super small, quality company that features polarized shades for under $40. They're available in tons of bright, fun colors and styles, so if you're looking for shades that are stylish, affordable, and fun, Diamond Blue can hook you up with a pair of Knockarounds and get you back out in the sun in no time. But don't forget to take care of that skin and put your sunscreen on. You don't have sunscreen? No worries, brah. Diamond Blue now features Vacation brand sunscreen. Based in Miami, Florida, Vacation sunscreen will let you spend all day on the beach without ever have to worrying about getting burnt. One of the greatest things about Diamond Blue is their owner and staff. Jen has owned and operated Diamond Blue for years now, and she only hires the most helpful, friendly crew of peeps who are filled to the brim with knowledge about all of Diamond Blue's fantastic products. Diamond Blue always has a ton of product, and there are even great deals to be found on last season's stuff. So get your buns in the sun and head down to Diamond Blue Surf Shop, located at the four-way intersection at Bridgegate Square. When Lila Delman founded her real estate company in 1964, she was not afraid to do things differently. Raising a family and running her own company, Lila lived and loved history, preservation, and Rhode Island's unique landscape of homes. Over the years, Lila Delman's dedicated team of best-in-class professionals have transformed this third-generation family business into the iconic first name of Rhode Island luxury real estate. To date, Lila Delman's legacy lives on with great passion as the company remains fiercely committed to its reputation of unparalleled client services and excellence within the market. Here on Block Island, Rosemary Tobin has been the number one top producer for Lila Delman Compass from 2018 through 2022. When the longtime owners of the Atlantic Inn decided to sell, they trusted Rosemary to handle it, representing both sides of the transaction. Talk about trust. Rosemary has been in real estate on Block Island for over 20 years. She is a proud year-round resident along with her husband Dave and her son Zane, and her roots in real estate run deep. Rosemary's mother was an agent in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area for 35 years. Besides real estate, Rosemary is part owner of Eli's Restaurant and can make you a perfect martini to help celebrate the sale or purchase of your new home when the time comes. So when you're ready to purchase or sell your home here on Block Island, be sure to give a call to Rosemary Tobin over at Lila Delman Compass.
All right, I said I was thirsty. I am thirsty for some knowledge.
Me too.
The inner workings of the water of Block Island. Would you be okay if we start going down that road a little bit?
Yeah,
let's talk about what please. You do up there. And it's a big part of this island. You know, huge. Huge.
And before we get completely into your gig right now, can we just go back a little bit and just thumbnail sketch like what it was like, what some of the improvements that Dave Simmons Gravy made? And that, or that you were at least
sure.
there helping him do, and where it started and where it is now.
Yeah, I mean, I came in there after they'd switched from a conventional system pulling out of Sands Pond, you know, and doing essentially filtration and sedimentation, which means you're settling out iron and then filtering it out. And, you know, back there, the water, and Rich remembers, the water was kind of a black eye on the community. People didn't like to drink it. It wasn't reliable. Lots of iron in it, discoloration, you know, way back even before Gravy. And, you know, we had that old Cypress tank. It was dead rats and all sorts of things, bacteria.
Yummy.
The whole bit, you know. Yeah. That tank was put up in the 1880s, and it was 100 years. It got torn down in the 1980s.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was there for a long time.
Wow.
So yeah. It even goes back before.
Yeah, that's what I like, the little
even
history.
Even before. But, the big part was is... the town condemned the water company and essentially took it over so it was public. From then, the water company could access public funds. So we're nowhere without the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA.
So, sorry to interrupt.
No.
So at some point, but way back in the day, the water company was like a private business?
It was owned by Bill Phelan. You know, because it's right on the, you know, where the location is. It's right near all, you know, the Phelan, you know, and Payne Farm and all that.
So way back when, what did it supply? Did it still supply the town?
It supplied a limited portion of town. and you know, a lot of leaks. There are probably still some wooden mains running down High Street.
Wow.
Those have been
abandoned. Okay. So
they're now abandoned, but Yeah. So then when you know, this is all, you know, oral history here, when and some, you know, I've looked into this too, but when Bill you know, wanted to get out of the business, a number of community members purchased it, 15 to 20 or so. And then from there, it just wasn't, it wasn't making money. It wasn't, it, there wasn't a money-making venture. So then it became so poor that the town essentially condemned it and took it over. Then the water company was able to access this funding,
okay,
which is low interest loans and grants. So for instance, at the time, that tank, it had dead birds in it. You have a serious deficiency. You're able to get 75% grants, and then you have to pay 25% of a loan, which is almost free money. So we're nowhere without the help of the federal government.
Yeah.
And we're this little niche where there's not a lot in Rhode Island that has access to this kind of funding. So they like us. There's only a few other communities in the state that have access to this infrastructure money.
Now, why is that?
Population, it's just median household income. Okay. There's a number of criteria.
Yeah. It's just a highly specialized area that we live in.
Exactly.
Which obviously we all know it is special.
It's a small state. That's why, right. You know, if you're out in, the more rural part of the country, you might have a number of communities vying for this money. So we're a unique community that's able to access this funding, And now we're getting more 45% grant money to 55% loan. And that's what we've been doing, you know, from that tank in the 80s all the way up to the expansion that we are currently planning now. So we don't exist without, it still would be the old ragtag, you know, wooden tank maybe without the federal government, which is, you know, in the funding that we're able to get. So,
wow, good.
Yeah, it's a little interesting caveat.
Well, it's good to hear that they're good for something.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. You know, a number of infrastructure projects and so much work has gone into this from the days of the wooden tank.
Yeah.
And I actually have old stories of, you know, the pond water used to just pump right into the tank. They put some chlorine in it, and someone worked there for like a half hour a day. They would send samples upstate, and a few weeks later they might hear, turn the chlorine up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It's come a long way.
Found some boopy in there.
Yeah, right.
Coliform.
Crazy. Yeah. You know.
Well, go ahead.
And back in the day, you look in Fred Benson's book, and the pigs from Payne's Farm used to wallow in the side, you know, over in Sands Pond. You just pump the water up from a windmill into that tank and it just go downtown, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he remembers. Cause he lived over at the Millikens there. So he was close to Sands Pond.
Yeah.
He, you know, what an amazing, transition, same property, you know, same middle building that still existed, back in the late 1800s.
Jeez. So,
fast forwarding to the important part where you said gravy had a lot to do with, which was transitioning to reverse osmosis it was a huge change going from that pond water to deeper wells that are brackish and desalinating.
How deep we talking?
About 250 feet from the surface.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're about 125 feet above sea level, so 250 feet deep.
So you're touching the bottom of that aquifer where fresh transitions to salt.
We punch through, all of our wells punch through a pretty thick clay, 20 feet or so of clay. And on the other side of that, you arrive at a different aquifer. So your well here, my well on the west side, you know, and let's go over geography. The water company only supplies water to, you know, down by the school, down High Street, Spring Street, Old Harbor, up the neck just to like the beachhead. And then recently in 2011, we ran out to like Salt Pond Settlement. So we don't supply water to the west side up the neck. Just, you know.
Marinas?
The marinas are not on town water. They're still on wells because we only ran that in 2011. So some, no marinas yet.
Some businesses have options to run well. Like, doesn't the National have both? Like, they have a well, but if they can also tap into town water?
The National has an emergency standby connection with a number of other hotels. So for
Because back in the day, the National and the Harborside shared a well.
They still do.
They still do.
Yeah, that became an issue with the fire. And luckily that fire was late enough in the summer where, you know, those last 2 weeks of August, kids are starting to go back to school, college kids are going back, it slows down. So we were able to take them in the emergency, which was huge. They were shut off for a little bit, but we did get them on and were able to take them for that last week and a half of August and through the season.
What about Finn's building? Is that another one that has its own well?
That's now on town water.
But it's now town, all it's, town?
It used to be on a well. When the property separated, they went to town water. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's been inoperable for a number of years. So, but fast forwarding, I want to get back on the reverse osmosis. A very important part of what we do.
And can you explain exactly the process, how it works?
Yeah, put your glasses on with
let's get nerdy.
Yeah, right. So reverse osmosis, reverses the natural osmosis. And if you remember from high school biology class, if you have a cell on one side that's full of water, the other one's full of salts, water will naturally go across the semipermeable membrane and dilute those salts and minerals, correct?
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're providing pressure and reversing that natural process. So it's not filtering water, we're actually separating water. So we take high salt and mineral water, apply pressure or energy across the semipermeable membrane, which is basically a filter, I guess, essentially, that only lets water molecules by. It's so small that you're actually breaking
the
bonds.
You're filtering out the salt.
You're breaking bonds, of, H2O, everything likes to grab onto it. It's a universal solvent, right? So it's always a lot of valence electrons, lots of things to like to grab onto it. So you're shoving it through these holes, these tiny little holes, and breaking the bonds of, let's say, iron, salts, other minerals. And on the other side of that, you get just water, and you concentrate further the minerals of the water you leave behind. That water gets, chlorinated, so it doesn't grow bacteria, and we adjust it for pH so it doesn't rot your pipes. And then it gets sent up to the tank and stored in the tank, and it goes out for public consumption. The important part is where we're drawing from. We're drawing from this deep aquifer, and it would be probably a disaster. We pull a lot of water out of the ground in the summer, and if we pulled from that upper aquifer, you might start affecting wells around us, right?
Yeah, okay.
Because there's a limited amount, right?
And I've heard some areas and aquifers, it's a trickle-in effect. So if you're pulling it faster than it can trickle in, I mean, you wait a week and it'd be bad. You know, water would come back into it, but it's not as fast as you might want to pull it out of there.
Yes, exactly. So we're not affecting this upper aquifer, which is crucial, because you could essentially pull enough out of it, all the wells around you might be affected by that, and then you got a problem.
Yeah.
Right. And there are a number, we're up in that rural area up by Sands Pond. There's plenty of wells up there that, like your well here. So it's a very important part that reverse osmosis took a previously non-potable source. I mean, you don't want to drink this stuff. I have people take it right out of the raw water tap, and you smell it. I'm not drinking that.
Brackish.
It's brackish. Right. It's high in iron, loaded in iron. Mm-hmm. You can smell the minerals in the water.
Yeah.
And we take that and make it drinkable, which was a huge, you're surrounded by salt water here. There is a limited amount of fresh water only replenished by rain, right? It's not like we got some underground river running through and by. So it's very important. It was a huge moment in water out here. And also, you remove all the contaminants. So it's high quality water. Dasani water, they just take city water, run it through reverse osmosis, and put it in a bottle. So you're drinking high quality water.
Is it almost like distilled water? Like, in other words, do you filter to an extent that it wouldn't be the kind of water you'd want to like live on, because it doesn't? Water by nature should have some electrolytes in it. And other things.
True. Yeah. I mean, there is
pretty
an
clean,
argument.
Clean water.
there is an argument that, you know, reverse osmosis might take out too much and everything.
Well, but you can you do add certain compounds back into the water,
we just add the chlorine, which is sodium hypochlorite. Sodium hypochlorite. You actually
I was going to say there's some sodium back in there. Yeah.
And then we add sodium hydroxide, another salt. That's to raise the pH. So.
So that kind of helps put some stuff back in.
Yeah, there's
because you don't want your water too soft, right?
Yeah, it's pretty. I think it's pretty soft.
It is soft. You don't want it completely soft, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, a little something.
Some places in Florida actually add some raw water back in. Yeah. You know, it's high calcium.
Now you guys have won awards for the actual for the water, correct? I mean, I felt like didn't you guys win best tasting water?
Yeah, every year they have a taste test thing. Right. I don't know. We won it 1 year. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
1 year you did, right?
1 year we won best tasting water.
I remember this because we were all very proud of Grave. Good memory. Both you guys. Yeah, we were great water.
1 year, yeah. We haven't won since, you know, but they got some people have some great wells up there, and they, you know, they just chlorinate it and throw it in. There's no filtering, and it's nice, and it's like spring water, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that was fun. Yeah, that was, you know, and they've won operations awards, stuff like that. But that was a big moment, watershed moment in Black Island, and you know, you have a lot of source water there. You're kind of got the ocean behind you a little bit because it's salty. So you have a bigger pot to draw from. And currently, if you want me to segue into what's going on currently.
Sure.
I have a quick question. Sure. We talked about the process. What's your capacity to process? So there must be like a certain amount you can do a day.
There is. And that's where we're getting to now, where we have a number of, large users who are on their own wells, who have aging wells. And, we've had some wells age out and fail even this summer. And there's only so much water you can make in a day. You have a bottleneck of reverse osmosis. While it's great, you can't just pump the raw water at hundreds of gallons a minute. You got to put it through this process, which bottlenecks it. You can only shove so much water across that membrane. It's about 65 gallons a minute per unit.
Well, that's actually a lot more than I was expecting.
No, oh, yeah,
that's quick.
So you can make, and don't quote me on this, and I don't have my computer in front of me, but about, we rate the facility at a certain gallons per day, and then we say, this is what's available. We have reached what's available, what we're safely saying what's available to what is being used for the big days in summer. So we don't want to sell too much water, and then you can't fill up your tank. And then all of a sudden you're running out of water in the fifth day of summer, July 4th, you go, I can't replenish the tank.
So how does this get fixed if it needs to be fixed? Do you add another tank and another system at a great cost, obviously?
Yeah, and that's what's happening a number of years ago. And this is, I think the total process will probably take 6 years from conception to finish. It takes a long time. A number of years ago, I called the State Water Resources Board, and they had a project still going on. It's called the South County Water Protection Program, and we had used it before to supplement our well water with a new source. So they purchased for us about a 7-acre parcel near the water company. And we're going to add two wells there. So that's one, source water, one. And that's not only for volume, but redundancy. So wells fail, things fail.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I've had to happen a bunch.
You almost would love to have a well sitting there just waiting to be used if you need it.
Like, oh, my
one
God.
One fails and you kick in another one.
Believe me, I've been there before with my... I have been up at the water company with my hands in the middle of summer with my hands crying, thinking that I wasn't going to be able to do it today.
Wow.
Because the well's down, the well guys came, they left, well's still not working.
And who can I blame for this?
Yeah.
I've been there, oh my God, it's August and I can't fill the tank.
What am I going to do?
And it's just going to drop and drop and drop. We're standalone. We don't have other communities. They open a valve to
Yeah, you know. They're like, yeah, here. It's not like the power grid.
Yeah, it's like a power grid. Yeah, it's exactly like a power grid. We're out here, so you know.
You have source processing and then outflow. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been there where
I just want to go back to washing dishes. Yeah. And yeah. The bathroom sink. Oh my God.
But we've, you know, that's never happened. And hopefully, you know, this added redundancy and everything, it's not only about adding more water, it's about adding redundancy, because the more people who go on town water, the faster things happen.
Yeah.
So
do you have like almost like a daily ebb and flow? Like I would imagine all day long you watch the tanks go down and draining faster than you can produce.
Yes, that's correct.
And then
correct.
Overnight you keep filling them at correct. 65 yeah. or whatever.
You want a job? You want a job?
Who, me? No, I'm good. Does it have housing?
I'll take it if it has housing.
No, that's correct. In the summer, our current production kind of drops the tank all day, especially on Saturdays, Sundays, Fridays.
Yeah.
And then overnight, that's when we make up our water. So it's not an easy feeling when you can't instantaneously, cut even is what we call it.
What are some of the, have you put, some rules? Obviously, I think you're not supposed to water your lawn, right?
We put water restrictions in a couple of years ago to address, and that's, from June 15th to Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
No pool fills. Hey, let's not fill a $30,000, gallon pool here.
Right.
Irrigation systems and also just sprinkler end use.
Yeah.
If you want to water
hosing
your garden,
off your sidewalk, all that kind of stuff.
If you want to hand water your garden, that's fine, but no sprinkler end use, unattended hoses, essentially.
How about washing your car?
That was not in there. I don't see a lot of car washing going on.
Nobody washes. Washes their car.
Get off the boat over there and run through the car wash.
It'll rain soon. That's the car wash.
So, I have a nice garden. Actually, I actually did this myself. I hand watered this year to see if I could do it. And I think I saved a lot of electricity. I did it just because I was making other people do it. And it was like, hey, I'm going to hand water my garden this year. Of course, it was a pretty wet summer, which helped. But But it saves a lot of water when you hand water things. You're not, I did do it. I had a fine garden. I had plenty of vegetables. And
what'd you grow?
What do I grow?
The usual.
Potatoes, green beans, tomatoes.
Yeah.
I love growing stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Blueberries.
Nice.
The blueberries.
Yeah.
The
purple kush.
Sativa.
Sativa. Indicas. Hybrids. Yep. Different strains. Yep.
Orange County OG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
White
great.
Widow.
That sounds good.
Awesome. We'll be up for dinner. Wink, wink. Soon. Do you hunt?
No, I do not.
Not a hunter.
No, not a hunter. Okay. No, plenty of deer in my yard.
Yeah,
they like they live there. They
because they know you're not a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Mm-hmm.
And with the, you guys aren't where you live. Where are you living now? Oh, you guys live
we live on the west side down Lewis Farm Road. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, what a spot.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I was gonna say you're not on the town water.
Oh yeah, right. I think I remember lending you. Well, maybe it contradicts our story, but I think I remember lending you some sprinkler towers.
That's right.
You're putting in your lawn. Yeah. Well,
that was before restrictions.
No, you need to.
But you're on a well.
But if you want to establish a lawn, you do it before June 15th if you're on town
certainly.
Lawn.
And that's the best time to do it.
Our rates go way up in the summer anyway.
Yeah, you don't want
you don't want to do it in the middle of summer.
And I almost think people could be educated because there's so many people that think you need to water things every day. And then, you really don't.
No.
Like a healthy lawn is a really great, great watering like every 5 days. Like it's not designed to be wet every day. It can actually be damaging to the lawn. And
is that right?
Yeah, I used to have I was in the lawn business, Rob.
Right.
I'd be like, you really only need to run run them longer, less frequent. Instead of running 3 hours every day, run them once a week or twice a week for 4 hours or 5 hours.
Because, is it like the same thing with like growing grapes for wine? You want to make the seeds struggle a little bit?
No, but most plants have a cycle where they require to consume oxygen through the roots. And if you keep the soil too wet, it actually suffocates the plant. So you think my plant's dying, I got to give it more water. Meanwhile, all you're doing is suffocating it. It really needs a window of dryness for the roots to function properly. Most plants.
Yeah, I mean, and this is an interesting subject because there are a number of you know, we're in a changing landscape on this island. You can all feel it. There's a lot more money coming in here.
Oh yeah.
There's corporate interest now. And, you know, the green lawns are, you know, very interesting. And this, you know, Black Island is just a microcosm. And this is, you know, of our culture.
Yep.
Anyway. And, you know, there used to be, and you remember in the 80s and, you know, the sole source aquifer and respecting that, yeah, we're surrounded by salt water, right? Like you said, if you want to live, you need water. And I feel like there's a, people aren't paying attention to that anymore, of what the use of the water is. We have one bowl. We got one bowl of water here, right?
Right.
Given that the water company draws from a separate bowl, but we just only provide water to a certain part of the island. Most 90% of the houses out here are on wells. We provide about 50% of the volume because we're in the commercial district.
Yeah.
But those other 90%, you know, we have to take care of that aquifer, and it's important. It matters what goes in it, meaning we don't pollute it.
Nitrates.
Yeah, anything. Mm-hmm. And but it matters how much we're taking out too. And I feel like it's important. And I believe that we've lost sight of that a little bit, in my opinion.
I always try to explain it when I'm giving a taxi tour that it's like 1,000 straws in one glass.
Yep.
That's pretty much, you know, so if we each take a sip on our straw, the glass is okay. But if we all start sucking on the straw, it's going to empty the glass.
Yeah, and there's a lot of irrigation systems, but you figure, you know, like keeping up with the Joneses, next thing you know, every property has one, and then you start to get worried.
Yeah, and I stopped applying with my business. I used to apply lawn applications, you know, and I tried to teach people, because I feel the least harmful of those things is lime. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
There's more harmful things than that.
That's what I mean. And, you know, people would feed and feed and say, why isn't my lawn getting greener? I'm like, it's really just about neutralizing the soil. You got acid soil. Just lime it twice a year at a very light rate, and you'll have a beautiful green lawn without it. There's so much natural feed. There's so much natural. So, again, acidic soil, the roots stop taking up nutrients.
Okay.
So as soon as you put a little lime down, it takes a few months, but it neutralizes the soil, and now the plant can start to absorb the existing nutrients. But people see a lawn that's, you know, not doing well, and they assume it needs food, and it's not necessarily the case. It just needs the ability to consume the existing food.
Huh.
Yeah. Getting a biology lesson today, huh?
How about that?
I'm learning a lot today, I'll be honest.
But you know what my favorite part about summer is when in my lawn is in August when it goes brown.
Yep.
And then I don't have to spend an hour and a half on my mower every week. See, that's where I'm at.
Yep.
I look at it and say, I don't got to mow the lawn this weekend. Sweet.
It's a win.
You know, oh God, the last thing I ever want is the irrigation system. I have to mow it twice a week. You know, that's just time, you know.
Yeah.
That's a West Side blessing though, too. It's really, okay, like mine, there must be something about the moisture up here because it stays green forever. Like, you know, weeks and weeks pass. I see all the West Side turning brown and drying up, and I wish it. I just mowed it last week.
You did?
And it's December.
Oh, yeah. God.
You know, yeah.
I've been done with that for a while.
I know. Well, that's a blessing of the West Side, you know.
How does the water company bill? Like, it's the same way every other municipality does, just
everything's
by the
different
gallon, or like you said, the rates go up in the summer when
it's like supply demand, and when you're using it in the summer, when we're pinched, you're gonna get charged more for the unit.
And how does the allotment work? Like, is it by square footage or capacity for like or business district or versus residential?
Is there an allocation?
Water allocation is every property or every meter has an allocation associated with it. And that's based on like number of bedrooms. It's based on a Department of Environmental Management regulation.
Metrics.
I mean, they have everything down to like a number of lanes in a bowling alley. You know, it's for septics. It's how they size septic systems. So we follow those, so we don't have to create our own list. The list is already made. Someone already smarter than us created that list,
But let's face the fact that there's some abuse there, because I've seen 14 guests in a house with a three-bedroom.
Yeah, and if they don't have enough allocation, there's a penalty associated with that at the end of the season. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they have 15,000 gallons for the season, they use 20, they pay a penalty for overuse, or, you know, In some cases, you can buy more allocation, but allocation is like an hour long conversation in itself.
Gotcha.
It's a complex, complicated system.
So the Barrington is an example of a recent well problem, mm-hmm. right? And so they were, are they connected now?
They are connected now. Yeah.
That was sort of an emergency certification situation. God,
yeah. Yeah. And, great people who run that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And
Henry Peterson's daughter, right? Do I have the right place? Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
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 Even if I'm wrong, I'm usually right on this show.
Yeah. They're well catastrophically failed. And we were able to, again, it was later in the season when that kind of, we kind of got lucky, but we've seen some differences and we've made our process a little bit more efficient over the years. So we were comfortable. We got like 2,000 more gallons a day, out of them. And we were comfortable this year taking them on. But we also have some people who have purchased allocation who aren't using it. And I spoke with some of those people. Are you going on Tonawanda this summer? No, I'm not. So we're able to kind of delete that out of all of our equations.
Okay.
So we felt comfortable taking them and a couple other smaller customers, but nothing large. We took a few more customers, but that's it. That's the end of the barrel until we get this tank up. And we kind of are getting back to what we're doing now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well field is purchased. We're working on drilling new wells, putting out bids for that. And then those need to connect to the water.
How many are you trying to drill?
Two wells on 7 acres, which seems reasonable. Okay. We have like a pre-application right now at the Department of Health to get moving on this project. Currently, literally right before I came here, I'm looking at a sequence of construction for the tank that's going to go on our property.
And so it's just going to be one more tank?
One more tank, but it doubles our storage. It's about a 250,000 gallon tank. We have 300,000 gallons of storage.
Okay.
So
now,
currently. Yes, okay. Currently. Wow. So that'll almost double our storage, which we're undersized. I mean, it's a weird place.
Yeah.
You do all this for 60 days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
60, because we don't need it now.
Right.
We're using 20,000 gallons a day today,
And now, do you think in the off season, so what are those two towers now? How much do each of those
300,000.
So 150,000
each. 150
each. Do you think like in November, Mark and I could rent one of those and brew a big batch of beer? Like
that's what I was going to.
150,000 gallons
we have
of
this
a nice.
Great
it's a lot of barley.
Like a Sands Ponds IPA?
Yeah, we have a. Yeah,
it's Sands a lot Ponds of IPA. Barley.
Don't even filter the water. Just au naturel.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. We'll cut you in on percentage of the gig.
The pig poop Pilsner.
Yeah, pig poop Pilsner. Ooh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. We can do like a Slewy Stout.
The whole town is wasted because we opened the wrong valve. What's the matter with all the kids at school? They're all nodding off. Oh, God.
Block Island becomes first town in the country to have on-demand beer piped into your home.
Beer out of the water. Cooler
just think about
at
it
the school.
That's all we're asking, just consider.
You can write a letter to the board, they make them decide.
Little extra revenue.
All right.
Okay. Actually, I was in a meeting where the presenter was a brewer. It was a Waterworks Association meeting, and she was a brewer. It was actually really exciting, and I just learned a lot about brewing beer.
Yeah,
at the molecular level, it was interesting.
The water is very important.
The water is extremely important,
as it is for pizza dough and a lot of other things.
It was
coffee.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they located in a certain part of Rhode Island to have non-chlorinated water. It was very interesting. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I notice a big difference when I'm on a main, public water source that's heavily chlorinated. You could taste it, I use the same creamer, same coffee, and I brew it, in my place in Wesley, totally different cup of coffee. The water is the base of everything.
Yeah, and, I always say, people complain about chlorine sometimes, but it's better than Giardia, right?
Yeah.
So, right.
Or, yeah, right?
Right.
That's some,
Better
than a week of pooping.
Yeah.
It's basically what can happen if you don't have good water.
Do you ever quote Zoolander, that line where he's the mermaid? And he says, water is the essence of wetness. Wetness is the essence of life.
I do love
that movie. When some customer's giving you a hard time, you look him in the eye and you go, listen, I want you to remember this. And then you drop the Zoolander line.
I'm going to have to watch that scene again. And now, I don't know.
It's a good one, though.
I think my little part to help is I'm going to have the bumper stickers made that say, if it's mellow, yellow, leave it mellow. If it's yellow.
If it's brown, flush it down. That was one of my favorite sayings.
Yeah, but more people should do that.
Yeah.
Little pee never hurt anybody.
I do that at home too. I leave the pee.
Oh, I've noticed.
You know, right. Not if I have guests coming over. Oh, okay. But okay. I mean, it's just, you know, me. Why not?
But that's the problem, because you have guests coming over. There's a stigma, so we don't do it. But it's almost like, you know.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I by my estimates, we could probably save about 460,000 gallons a season.
Probably
if we only flushed once for three pees.
Okay.
Yeah, I did the math.
You can do math?
No, not really.
I support that. I like that.
Yeah. Slewy, do you have any? I'm sorry, John. Do you have any? do you have any hobbies? What do you do in your spare time out here? I know you're busy.
I got two kids. Yeah. I have become a avid pickleball player lately.
Have you?
It's like a cult.
That's what I understand.
Oh my god!
You dang, that's good though. It keeps you active.
I love it. It's such a fun sport. I enjoy it. We're actually they're going for a grant to get pickleball courts over at the park. So hopefully we'll get our own courts.
Where do you play now?
On the outside we play. There's lines on the basketball court at Ball O'Brien Park.
Oh.
And then there's some lines on the tennis court.
Okay.
But I sold the t-shirts. I do fundraisers for, you know, it's really? Gotten out of,
And you play doubles, right?
It's doubles. Yeah, mostly.
Do you have one particular partner, a doubles partner that you play with, or just whoever's available?
Some people we play, you know, there's open play. Sometimes we get a foursome.
Yeah.
Played at the Black Island Club a lot this summer.
Yeah.
You get like week long people there.
Right.
You know,
do you ever hustle them for money?
I don't think I'm that good.
No. Really?
No, maybe not. Yeah.
And that's how the hustle starts.
That's how the hustle starts.
So, all right. I'll play for $10. And
if you haven't played, it's fun. And what a fun sport.
That's just what I've heard. It's just basically like tennis, except easier.
It's like life-size ping pong.
Life-size
ping pong.
The first time I ever heard of it was Mr. T. Tarbox, and my daughter was in middle school or whatever, grammar school, middle school. And I was like, pickleball?
Yeah.
What the hell is that? And then all of a sudden it became the rage. Now,
right. You know? They used to make their own paddles in shop class, you know?
They
used to carve it out and they'd take it into Mr. T's class and they had championships. You'd win a jar of pickles. There used to be like a big tournament. It was like the big rage, you know. So he was ahead of his time. Yeah.
And I really believe pickleball was invented by orthopedic surgeons, because apparently the need for seniors who play pickleball has gone up like 60%. They blame it on pickleball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of people with more advanced years than John here.
Rolling ankles.
They love playing pickleball, but, you know, they said the hospital visits from pickleball injuries.
Yikes.
But I guess that's, you know, whatever you're going
to
do. I mean, you know.
I wouldn't be afraid of playing pickleball. I'd get into pickleball.
It's, some people, they get, you know, it's like a cult. Some people play once and they're like, oh, this is fun. But the people who get bitten by it, like myself, it kind of becomes a problem.
Yeah.
That was my racquetball. You remember, do you know racquetball?
Of course. Yeah, I used to play racquetball.
I belong to the racquetball club and the glass room.
Huge in the 80s. Like 80s soundtrack.
Loved it. He
just liked that like trippy noise that it make.
Yeah. I love just watching people slam into the glass. I see their face get like flattened against the glass. You know, though, I will say, you know, they built the facility new, and by the third year, the whole place had sort of an aroma to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it got funky.
Plastic rooms, basically, with sweat.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I don't know.
And,
all right. Well, how do we get down there?
I don't know.
You asked me what my hobbies were. Yeah.
I meant the plastic room full of sweat.
Man, yeah.
After this, maybe we'll go play some pickleball.
Yeah,
so.
We could. Do you have any? We are getting kind of close to the point where we might think about wrapping it up.
Yeah. But, you got anything you didn't get to talk about that you want to?
Any
besides
shout-outs?
The Philadelphia Eagles?
No, I don't. Yeah. See,
no,
we could
besides.
We could do an hour. We could do an hour on the Eagles. We can do an hour on pickleball if you want me back. But yeah, everyone would be really bored except for me.
I'm gonna throw this out there. If we ever need a guest host for a reason,
yeah,
I think I'm gonna throw Slewy's name in the hat, because he's good.
I'm flattered.
Only if I'm allowed to use Slewy
for sure.
He's gonna
have to run it by Slewy.
Let him think about it. You text me later in private whether I can use the term or not.
I do.
How is it spelled?
S-L-U-E-Y.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just learned. I thought it was S-L-E-W-Y.
So it's like a Huey, but slewy.
U-E-Y.
Yeah,
okay.
I like it.
And your voice is great. You got a nice, smooth voice. I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah, I like working on this.
Let me, can I have you say, welcome to Two Guys on Block Island.
Welcome to Two Guys on Block Island.
It's good, right?
Yeah, I could work on that.
It's good. Yeah, I mean, we get a little more.
Now I'm going to get a mic set up and everything, and now I'm going to start listening to myself all
That's fine.
Now.
Just don't do your own podcast. You can't, you know, I don't want to have been responsible for a watch. Yeah. Well,
we could split
the water
it.
Guy.
We could split it and have him come back for like a half hour of pickleball and a half hour of the Eagles.
Okay.
And we'll get an hour.
Yeah.
Because that's about when people's attention span will run out.
Right.
On the, you know. Yeah,
they ran out about 45 minutes ago, I think.
No, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Yeah. I wonder if I had any other questions. So I have one more.
Can I do one more?
Sure.
Do it, sure.
Were you around for or do you know of the story and the validity of running a hose to Fresh Pond due to an algae bloom? Was that what it's cause of?
I do know that story.
So is Fresh Pond or was it at one point a backup water source?
Fresh Pond is currently still a water source. We still test it, you know, with whatever compounds they want us to test it for annually and everything else. Same as Sands Pond. And yes, there was, it was more than a hose. It was a large pipe. They gained easements. And the reason was because Sands Pond was going dry.
Right.
So, you know, they didn't have any water left. Middle of summer, July. I still have the log books and have looked through what was written down for this at the water company. And 1994, I believe. And the pond went dry and the National Guard was called up. And there was easements obtained from Fresh Pond through all that private property. They probably still exist today. And
so what did it go like across Payne Farm and...
It's a little bit further south in there, I believe. Okay. Like Pheasant Trail, maybe.
Yeah, I think. Okay.
Up over the plains.
Yeah. And there was a blue pump, which is still owned by the sewer plant, you know, because the sewer had a lot more to do with the water in that point in time. And they still have that pump that still gets used every once in a while.
You
and
know, I think they broke it out for the Harborside Fire.
They did.
To drain Chapel Street. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And so that's still that pump. It can do a lot of water, and it pumped water from Fresh Pond to Sands Pond to supplement it. And that's how they, you know, got through the summer. And I think the pipe was still existing somewhere. It might have got thrown away.
Huh. And I don't know if they repaved it since then, but for a long time, you could see the strip in the asphalt where they had to
put it under. I think it's still there.
To put it under there.
Really?
So, yeah, as you're driving along by Fresh Pond, if you watch, all of a sudden you'll see a little strip that you could tell they tore up and replaced across.
Across.
I think it's still
that's
there.
That's where the pipe, that's where the connection was.
But that, you know, my job is to, you know, listen to these stories and to try not to get back to that point.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, as you learn from the past, is it costing a fair amount of money? But the economics of running out of money in July, could be disastrous for this island, for the economy of this island. And, you know, the Harborside Fire was intense. We were, Rich helped me out that night.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And he drove me up. Yeah, we had to get the water company truck, and we were on the wrong side of the
wall. Yeah, we had to loop around.
Yeah, we had to loop around because you had to drive around the whole island to get back up to the water company.
Because by that point, let me get this right, I believe even though we were switching over, the boats had arrived. We were starting to pump salt water for everything, but everything inside the Harborside was still. Had water could come out of it, right?
The fire department connection was already established, meaning they into the fire suppression system, they're pumping water into that.
Yeah.
But we were afraid that we were going to lose the building, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, 4 or 5 inches of water just going right in, and we were already exhausted at that point when it came to tank level, but don't want to go through that night again.
That was a long night.
I got enough hair problems as it is. You know,
there wasn't much chuckling in the truck on the way up to the water company.
No, I bet not.
But we got through it, and hats off to everybody.
I think the one line I remember, because it was one of those nights where you kind of remember things, but you don't remember all the details. I almost forgot about that. I gave you a ride up there.
There's so many little moments.
I just remember John looking at me and goes, I do not like chaos. And I was like, well, you know, me neither. Why is this chaos?
Yeah.
Some people thrive on it, I've learned in life. Some people love it.
You're right. Some people do.
I like things to operate smoothly.
Yeah. And,
I can do it, but I don't like it. You know, I'm not
I used to dig a little chaos.
Yeah.
But now the older I get, the less I'm.
But you need it to learn. You know,
yeah, you do.
And we learned to, you know, you have to look back at that night and you know, what would you do differently? That's experience. It's, you know, I laughed at it. I said when Rich called me to come on here, and I'm like, you know, I'm not wise, old enough, or interesting enough to go on this yet, you know. But it's those moments.
That's what Mark said.
It's those. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm like,
are you sure about this, Rich?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's those times that, you know, you grow wisdom and you lose more hair.
Yeah.
Just don't forget, how old are you now?
I'm 42.
Yeah. So to a 15-year-old listening to this, you're an old guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But to me, you're still like, you're a kid still. You still
Another guest, you know, I love the ones you do with the old time. I was like, you're 70.
Yeah.
you're getting there, you know, what do you mean the old timers? Oh, no, he said so many old timers are gone. I'm like, yeah, and guess who replaced them? Us.
What is the average age of your listener? Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure we could look it up.
It's in the mid-40s.
Mid-40s.
Yeah.
I think most of our listeners are 40s and 50s, but we do span the broad spectrum. So they're all
Yeah, that means, yeah, I mean, that's the average of a living person who can access podcasts, probably.
And probably what's, you know, appealing podcast-wise to a teenager is probably not this, you know. It's like, how old were you when you first sat down and watched a documentary about the Civil War? You know, you didn't do that when you were 13 years old. Well, I didn't. Maybe you did, but.
So I've already started guest hosting here. I'm now asking you guys questions.
This is great. Did you see what he just did there?
And we are officially out of time.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Sluie. Yeah, see ya. Yeah.
Well, but seriously, we are getting on that. Yeah, we have to. Yes.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate this. It's an honor to go on this. You guys have had a lot more important and more interesting people than myself.
Enough with the New England humility and humble.
I'm a Philadelphian. Hey, I'm a Philadelphian.
Yeah, but you're kind of a New Englander now.
Hey,
I think living on Block Island, if you live on, you can come from anywhere. And it might take you a while to kind of turn into a New Englander, but you've sped up the process by being on Block Island.
It's like an exported passport, you can get it expedited
exactly.
That's what I mean, expedited.
It's like that
when living here is an expedited process to becoming a salty New Englander.
Although you are not salty, I do have to say you're pretty mellow, basically positive, largely positive, completely positive individual.
Talk to me in March.
A lot of reggae music. You love reggae music too.
Before we make all these assumptions, let's schedule his wife to come on next.
Yes.
We really
need to talk to Doug and Barbie.
We've been trying to get Barbie, right? I want to. She's on the list.
Put a good word in for us. I will try.
You just tell her how easy it is.
Just tell them how much fun you had.
They are much more interesting than me, I'll tell you that. Wow. And they have some great stories. They would be great guests on there.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll put a good word.
You'd have them on as a couple. It would be great.
Yeah.
So, and to you listeners, if you know Barbie and Doug Michelle, you just see them and you think it's them, walk right over to them and be like, hey, I'd really love you to go on the Two Guys on Block Island podcast. Yes. We got to start the pressure approach to having random strangers walk up to them.
But honestly, will you please say hi to them for us?
I will.
Just tell them we said hello, because I haven't seen them in a while.
They only had 300-watt lamps on me, you know.
Yeah.
I only was dripping a little sweat. You know, they're pretty nice. Yeah. So
they only took me off the payroll last month. I was keeping an eye on you for them. All right. We do got to wrap it up, folks. Thank you so much, John, for taking time out of your day. And listeners, as always, please, we're always ready to hear from you at our email address, twoguysonbi@gmail.com.
Yeah. And you can follow us on all the social media stuff, Facebook, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. And if you would love to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so on whatever platform it is you listen to. Most importantly, though, just tell your friends about us, will you?
That's right. Spread the word, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love new listeners.
Yeah.
So that's really great.
Totes.
All right. Thanks again,
thanks,
John.
Louis.
Thank you, guys.
And Mark, catch you next time.
All right. See ya. Hey, Rich.
What do you want now?
I was wondering, do you have any of that, the beer that we're going to make in the water tanks already, like a smaller batch can we test that out?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's called the Fresh Pond Ale.
Fresh Pond Ale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'd like, could I get a case
but
of
I
it?
Only take the water this time of year. It's off season and it's crystal clear and beautiful.
Let's go get some.
Yeah.
Oh, and one last thing. Whether you're a local or just visiting Block Island, pick up a copy of the Block Island Guide. Published annually for the last 35 years, it features 120 pages full of killer photos and all the details you need to know. Most importantly, it's fun to read. What shall we do with Captain Sailor? What shall we do with Captain Sailor? What shall we do with...